Good morning. Yeah. Yes, please. Peter, can you open those, please? I don't know. I feel like we need a little bit more light in here. And if I turn this one, then you can't see the scriptures. All right. Good morning. I know we've welcomed you several times, but I just get happy to see you guys, all of you here. I grew up in this church. I've been in this church since I was in fifth grade, and that was many, many moons ago. And it's seeing all of you guys are like family. You know, you guys are family. The word says that we are brothers and sisters. You know, we're the body. When we're together, you know, there's a reason that it feels good to go to church, or it should feel good to go to church, you know, to be together. It's because we fit. And even, you know, some of us are a little bit odd and whatever. I mean, I'm not the most normal person ever. We got Mark, of course, you know, but we fit. We fit. And the word says that we are a body and that every part is different. You know, in your own body, you're not all eyeballs. You're not all pinky toes. You're not all, you know, hair like Cousin It or whatever. There's different parts of you. And every part is different. Every part has a different purpose. And it's the same in the body. We are all different. We all have different personalities. We all have different purposes. But together we fit. Together we move. Together we function. That has nothing to do with my message, but I just get happy to see you guys, and God is good. So I'm going to just open up in a word of prayer, and we're going to get going here. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your body. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do for us. And Lord, right now, I just give you everything, everything, everything. Lord, we've come today not just to be together, Lord, but to receive from you, from your word. And right now, I just declare that all of us, every single one of us here, that we would be good ground, fertile ground, ready to receive the seed of your word, that it would go forth and multiply. It would produce an abundant harvest in our own lives and in the lives of those around us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have not placed us here just to exist, but you have placed us here to be game changers, to be world changers, because we carry your power and your light and your love into the world. We welcome your presence. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have your way here today. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to get going. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. And I've had this message kind of just rolling around in me for a few weeks now, and it just seems like God has been giving us a similar message these last few weeks. Ramon preached an awesome message on Wednesday, a couple Wednesdays ago, and then Eric had shared an awesome word, and Denise had shared an awesome word on Wednesday, and just talking about a lot of spiritual things, it seems like kind of the general theme is how we need to be aware of the spiritual battles and things that are going on around us. And I don't know about you guys, but like it seems to me, at least in my own life, there's been a lot of opportunities to be discouraged about things or to be worried about things or, you know, to get off track or distracted from where I'm supposed to go or what I'm supposed to be doing. And I don't know, I just have this fire in me. And I know that God gave me this word, not just for me myself, but to share with you all today, because it's not a coincidence that we've been having these same kind of themes or in messages. You know, we don't sit and have a meeting every month and like, okay, what are we all going to talk about? Okay, you're going to talk about this, and then I'll dovetail off of that, and it'll go real nice, and we'll talk about this. I mean, you know, yeah, sometimes we have like a series of things that we do, but this has been God. This has been the Spirit trying to tell us something, and we need to open our ears and not be ignorant to what God is trying to do. So the core scripture that I have for you today is in Mark chapter 10, in verse 9. It says, let no one split apart what God has joined together. simple. Let no one split apart what God has joined together. One more time. Let no one split apart what God has joined together. Mark 10:9. And now I know, you know, this verse or this chapter is talking a lot about marriage. It's, you know, in my Bible, it's titled Discussion About Divorce and Marriage. And we use this scripture a lot when we talk about, you know, marriage and divorce and things like that. But in the things that have been coming up in my life recently, this scripture has just been rolling up in me. And I believe and I know that it applies to more in our life than just marriage. This applies to our family. Did God put your family together? Yes. It's not an accident that you and your spouse got together, that God gave you the kids that he has, or that you had the parents or the brothers and sisters that you have. Yes, it includes your marriage, and I'm going to talk about that, and it includes your body and your health. It includes your spirit, you know. The word says that God can't take back his gifts and his call, and his spirit is a gift to us. But sometimes we can let things get in between all those areas. We can let a wedge get in there. And my declaration and what I've been having to do in my own life is to just say no. To say no to things. It says, let no one split apart what God has joined together. So that means that you can let someone or something or an influence do that. Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. So recently I had a friend come to me, a very, very, very close friend, one of my best friends. And she started telling me about an issue in her marriage. She's recently married, and you know, I thought that everything was going okay and everything was going good, and then she, you know, she told me just kind of all of a sudden, like, you know, things aren't going so good. And, you know, I love him, but things are, like, really hard right now and just really struggling. Telling me about, like, you know, that her husband, that she loves him so much, but he's just like really mean to her, and the family, she's having a lot of issues with the family, and these horrible things that are going on. And my heart, you know, like, if you've ever had a family member or a close friend or somebody that's going through something, you just want to like swoop them up and like just like do anything that you can to help them and to get out of that situation. And my first thought was like, you know, your fleshly thoughts say, oh my gosh, she needs to get out of there. Oh my gosh, she needs to go. She can come stay at my house, or I know other people that she could stay at their house. Like, you know, this shouldn't be happening, all these things. And you start thinking of all these scenarios and things that could happen or should happen, or ways that you can fix the situation. And it just started to rise up in me as my flesh is doing all this, you know, your wheels start turning and you're like going 100 miles an hour. And then the spirit, you know, it just like starts to come up, you know, and it's like, are you going to accept this? Are you going to allow this? You're going to tell this person, you know, after all that you know, after all that you've read, after all my promises, you're going to tell this person that they should leave their husband? You're going to tell this person that you need to get out of there, and, you know, you're going to get this ball rolling in a direction opposite of where I want it to go. And it checked me because, you know, we have these situations that come up in our life, and we have the choice to either allow it to happen or we can say no. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It says here clearly and plainly that we are not supposed to worry about anything. We're not supposed to worry about anything, but we tell God. We tell God, us carrying all the junk and all the stuff, it doesn't help the situation. We tell God. And we need to start tattling on the devil in our lives when things come up. I mean, like, I have little kids in my house, and there is a lot of tattling that goes on, okay? Or if you've been around little kids, VBS, oh my gosh, it's like, teacher, so-and-so is looking at me. And it's like, really, you know, like whatever. But we need to start. It says right here, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. So when things start coming up in our lives and we have the enemy coming against us, or you're like thoughts coming in or situations coming, be like, I'm going to tell my dad. I'm going to tell my dad what you're telling me. I'm going to tell my dad what you're doing right now. Because who is bigger? God is bigger. It says, tell God what you need, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. We need to start tattling on the devil. Instead of being like we're going to handle all this ourselves and whatever, it's like, I'm giving this to God. Because this is a counterfeit attack right now, and you don't need to be here. And you know what? I mean, we can't let the devil bully us and try to handle it, because he told us here to take it to him, to tell him about it, to tell him what's going on, give it to him, and thank him for what he's done. David, if you read in Psalms, he tattles on the devil all the time. He's telling God about his problems. He's like, God, my enemies surround me. Everybody's coming against me, but you are the Almighty God. You are my hand, my helper, my everything. And then the psalm goes into peace. And this is what the word is saying. We have problems. And if we don't have problems, then something's wrong with you. If you don't have an issue that you're dealing with, that means either you got a bigger problem than you think that you don't have. Or number two, I mean, you got raptured and you're gone. But until all of us, you know, I was just talking with Jessica the other day at work, like, if I'm still here, unless you see me go poof, like, you, there she goes, she left, that means I'm still here, that means I'm not perfect, and there are issues that we all have in our lives that either come here or up or wherever that we need to deal with. So tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. David was awesome at doing that. I mean, like, sometimes it seemed like he was just like, woe is me. But then he started talking about the goodness of God and his faithfulness. And we have, you know, most of the praise and worship songs that we do are David's Psalms, just talking about, but you are the author of all creation. You are the one who is in the thunder and the lightning and the rain. You are the one that gives life to all creation. And he just builds himself up. Then peace comes. So I had this situation, and you get that fight or flight response, you know, and it's like, you want to do something and you want to fix it right now. And my first response, sorry to say, I didn't tell her, but in my head it was like, that's not healthy. That's not right. She needs to get out of there. It was flight. My first thought was flight response. But that's what the devil wants. He wants us to run when things get tough. He wants us to abandon our posts when things get a little rocky. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it's not up there, but 1 Peter 5:8, it says, stay alert. Watch out, for your great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil roars like a lion seeking someone who he can devour. And I always read that, and it says he's like a lion, or as a lion, some versions say. It doesn't say he is. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a deceiver. And he's not even a real lion. Who's the lion? We serve the lion of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is a counterfeit little g God that of this world that tries to convince us that we're not this and we're not that, that we need to get out of here. We need to do this and that and coming against us all different ways, roaring like a lion, seeking someone who he can devour. But he has no power. When Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, all power that he had was stripped, and it's only what we give him now that he has. He comes around, and I don't know, like, it's a trick. It's a trick, and it's a trap. Have you ever watched a movie and like adventure movies or whatever, and like one person's walking and then somebody's like, "Don't do it, it's a trap. Don't touch that, it's a trick," or whatever. And it's, you know, that's how the devil tries to get us. He tries to get us by tricking us into getting us to run or getting us to hide. And Eric, when we're in morning prayer, I encourage you, if you can ever make it between 9:15 and 9:45, anybody who can be in there, we just meet and pray. And they're like, I mean, it's just awesome. So if you're ever ready, like before church, and you're just sitting around watching TV or eating breakfast or whatever, come and pray with us. But this morning, as we were in prayer, God had given him a word, and he shared, "Wake up, church, and be ready, for the enemy roars like a lion. Wake up, church, and be ready. Be ready to take your place. The devil roars like a lion, but he's not even a real one." Okay? He's a liar and a deceiver, and he wants to get us off of our ground. He wants us to abandon our post, to leave our station, to leave our blessing. He wants to move us from where God has positioned us. And I remember, there's this movie that I saw. It's one of, like, I watch all kids' movies now because of my kids. So it was a Tinkerbell movie. And in this movie, you know, they're going through this place and they're looking for this treasure. And there's like these rats or something. And, you know, Tinkerbell's small. And so these rats or whatever it was, they're going to eat her. And she's got this little bug with her, her little friend. And all of a sudden it shows these rats that are going to like get them. And all of a sudden there's this big ugly shadow on the wall, and it's going rah rah rah, and it scares the rats away, and they're safe. And it turns out it was that little bug, you know, making a big shadow on the wall, and he was like, had like a little amplifying whatever, and it was making a noise, but it was a tiny little bug. And this is what the devil does to us. He plays shadow games and he tries to deceive us by making this big old loud noise, by trying to shake things up, when he really doesn't have the power. And I mean, we get scared away by deception, not by what really is. We get scared away by the lie and the deception and the loud noise and the shadow on the wall of what he's, you know, what he's trying to do in our life, when that's not the reality. He has no power over us. It's only what we let him have. It's easy to, but you know what? It's easy to tell someone when somebody else is in a situation, "Oh, be strong, sister. You know, just keep going. Stay strong in faith. You know, just don't worry about that. Just keep trusting God." But it's different when it's you, right? It's different when it's you. I mean, we can tell everybody, you know, you shouldn't be worrying about that. You need to give that to God and stop, you know, whatever. But then when it's us, what happens? Oh, we got, you know, we're running here, we're running there, we're doing this and that. It's different when you're in the hospital room staring at your kid sick in bed. It's different when you're the one that's getting the bills in the mail and money's not increasing, so you're like, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen." It's different when your marriage didn't turn out to be the fairy tale that you thought you signed up for. You know, We got to stand our ground. Stand our ground. Stand our ground and not let some stupid imitation, shadow game, whatever, lying, deceiving, little pipsqueak but nothing, lying devil get us off of our land, get us off of what is ours. It's ours. And I remember in, I like to use movie references. If you haven't noticed, have any of you seen the movie Princess Bride? Princess Bride. All right. We all have. Okay. Many times. This is one of my favorite movies ever. Okay. And you know the part at the end where they're getting ready to get married and the guy's going like to save the day, but he had just been like paralyzed. And so he's like barely reviving and they get his big giant of a friend and they have this cloak and they wheel him up on a wheelbarrow and he's like, oh, you know, and they light him on fire and you're inside and you're hearing the guys like, stand your ground, men, stand your ground. Like they didn't know he's just some dude and they're pushing him in a wheelbarrow. And God is telling us, stand your ground because what is coming against you, that is not the reality. This is our reality. This is the truth that we stand on. And regardless of what, you know, big ugly thing is trying to present itself, this is our truth. This is our truth. So stand your ground, and don't run. Don't run. So when we face the fire, you know, and we all do, the word says it, that all of us are going to come, you know, if we share in God's glory or Jesus's glory, we have to share also in his suffering. So that means that there are going to be things that come against us. There are. We are not promised a bump-free life. But we have every tool and power and weapon to overcome the bumps that do come. That's what we have. So we need to, God is saying to us, stand your ground. He is telling you, stand your ground. Don't accept a counterfeit truth. Accept the truth of what the word says. Stand on your healing. Stand on your marriage. Stand on your children and on your family. Let no one tear apart what he has brought together. God puts you at your job. God puts you with your spouse. God puts you with your family and your children. He puts you together. He gave you to your parents. You know, it's a divine thing. God even put your own body together. The word says that God knit you together in your mother's womb before you were born. So he put you together. So when something is even in your own body trying to tear yourself apart, some sickness, some whatever, that is counterfeit. That is counterfeit. Let no one, no thing tear apart what God has put together. Amen. And you are put together by God. Your family is put together by God. Your marriage is put together by God. You are here listening to this message today because you need to. Because I need to. Amen. So we can't let... We can't let people tear it apart. Well, correction. We can't let Satan tear it apart. Because like Ramon shared so accurately a couple weeks ago, it's not people. It's not people that come against us. I mean, yeah, in the physical, you want to punch somebody in the face sometime, like, get out of here, you know, whatever. But it's not people. It's all a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And God will, and the devil will use whatever avenue he can to get you distracted. And sometimes, you know, it's through people a lot of times. A lot of times it's through people. And it's through people that will get to us. It's through people that are like right there that can, you know, just the right way and get under there. Because he's a deceiver. He's not going to send somebody to bother us that's not going to bother us. He rowls around like a roaring, or he prowls, goes around like a roaring lion seeking someone who he can devour. And we need to recognize his attacks. And it's not people. Your war is not against your spouse. Your war is not against your parents. Your war is not against, you know, whoever, your coworker, your boss, you know, your brother, your sister, whoever it would be. That is not your war. Your war is against the lies of what the enemy is telling you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, the final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Does it say, be strong in the Lord and carry it all yourself and try to handle it all yourself? It says, no, be strong in him and in his power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. It doesn't say put on all of God's armor so you can fight against every wile of your mother-in-law. It doesn't say, or against all the strategies of your boss. Or it doesn't say against all the tricks of your husband or your wife or whatever. It says all the strategies of the devil. Against the evil one. It's not people, that we're at war with. It's spiritual. It's all spiritual. Everything is life or death. Heaven and hell. Angels and demons. Light, dark and light. I mean, we can't be ignorant to this. We have to recognize it. But we get too wrapped up in our own lives, our own emotions, and what, you know, we're thinking and feeling to recognize that, you know, it's also a pride thing. It's a pride thing. Sometimes, you know, not saying that you want to, but sometimes it's like, you want to carry it. You want to be upset. You want to be hurt. Because something did happen. I mean, but that's a form of pride. We got to get rid of it and not, you know, we can't let ourselves be mad at the person. Recognize it for what it is and turn it over to God. Like, God, I'm not, you know what's going on right now, and you know, I'm just giving it to you. I don't even know what to say, but I turn it over to you, and I just seek your face, and I trust you, God, because you're awesome. I mean, let no one tear apart. Let no one, don't let the devil tear apart what God brought together. Don't let him. Tell him no. Tell him no. I mean, even if I've had to literally, and I probably look like a freak in my car, but like I've had times where like I just get mad about stuff and I just like let myself get all worked up about it and let myself get like, and you know what I mean? Like, and there's been times when I sit in the car or like I'm driving and maybe like somebody cuts me off, or like I'm all of a sudden I'm in a parade and somebody's going 5 miles an hour and I'm in a hurry, you know, and it always seems to happen. Like when you're in a hurry, you'll find the one dude that's like coasting, you know, and I'm sitting here and I'm like trying to hold the steering wheel and like, don't let it come out of my mouth. Don't let it come out of my hands. Don't let it come out of wherever, like just God. And there have been times where I just get so mad about nothing. And then I recognize it. This is a spirit. This is nasty. What is this? This is anger. And I, or like, this is a spirit of anger. This is a spirit of frustration. I don't know what this is, but this is not me. This is not me. This is ugly. And I don't want this. And as much as it sometimes kills us to let the offense go or whatever we're mad about go, I've sat in my car and literally, and Sophia's like, Mom, who are you talking to? I'm like, no. No. And I sit there and I'm like, no. I rebuke this. Mommy, who are you talking to? I'm talking to the devil because he's being stupid. I rebuke this. I rebuke this. I cast this off. Whatever this is, this ugliness. And all of a sudden, it's like a light switch. And you just feel different about the whole situation. You are not immune to, I used to think that if I had some kind of spiritual attack against me, that meant that I was a real bad person. Because only people that are really bad have like demons and like demonic attacks and things like that. But the word says that even the elite will try to be deceived. You are not immune. I mean, the devil went to Jesus and tried to deceive him. in his state of weakness, you know, he was hungry, he was tired, he was out in the wilderness. He tried to get him when he was down in a vulnerable spot. You are not immune to the attacks of the devil, and you need to recognize when they come, because they will come. But you have every power and every weapon to stand against, it's gone, but you to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Against, you have every weapon. And he didn't give you a weapon unless there was going to be a battle. He didn't give you weapons to just sit there and look pretty, you know, like he gave you weapons to fight. To fight. And there is a fight. Sometimes it seems like every day is a fight. A fight to get up, a fight to go to work when you don't want to go, when there is no reason, there is no purpose in you being there. There is, because God puts you there. There's somebody there. There's something that you need to do there for this season. And when it's done, then God will release you from that and take you somewhere else. So we have to tell him no. Ramon gave such an awesome example, and I love it. When he was in Mexico, and somebody came up to him and tried to steal his watch. He said, "Give me your watch." And what did you do? He yelled at him. He yelled at him. He said, "No." And you told him, "Get away from me, spirit of poverty," right? I mean, that to anybody else, they would have been like, look at this guy, you know? But when the devil comes against us, we can't be meek about it. We can't play games about like, oh, you know. If somebody, if you were somewhere and somebody tried to snatch your kid away from you, what would you do? You would run after them. You would be yelling. You would be hollering. You would be kicking and screaming, doing anything you can to get the attention of anybody that could help you. And when the devil comes against us, we need to not play like meek about it. We need to start telling people, tell the leadership in the church. You need to start getting on your knees and you tell the devil, no, no, because this is mine and you will not take what is mine. I am standing my ground and I have every weapon to fight you. And having done all to stand, I will be standing. You cannot let the devil, we cannot play games, because he will do anything that he can to get us off and get us distracted and off and doing whatever. And in these days, in these times, we cannot afford to have Christians, the body of Christ, distracted and off and doing stupid stuff. The world needs us. The world needs us. Ramon recognized the attack, and not against the guy. It was a spiritual attack. Said, "No, get away from me, spirit of poverty." And the same thing happened with Jesus. I mean, what did he say when I forget, who was it? That was like telling him not to do stuff. And then he said, "Get behind me, Satan." To Peter. Not that one. But he was telling him, like, you know, trying to, like, stop him from doing what he was doing. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." It wasn't Peter. Because he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." It wasn't Peter. But at that very moment, it was the enemy trying to distract him and turn him away, using somebody who could influence him. Using somebody who could get in there, but Jesus recognized it for what it was. We have to recognize things for what they are. It is not people, but it is spiritual. It is life and death, heaven and hell. And we can either choose to get mad at the person that's doing it. And in the meantime, the devil swoops in and steals whatever he's trying to steal at that moment. There will always be someone or something trying to trip us up. But God, I love that. I love how I always think of Eric's dad, you know, and he's like, "But God," you know, he always, "But God," for every problem that we have, there's a "but God" every time. "But God, but God, who is so awesome." James 4:7 says, "So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He is roaring big time right now. I don't know if it's just me, but it's just been like he is roaring big time. Big time. Trying to shake things up, trying to see who he can get to run. Don't run. It's a trick. It's a trap. It's a distraction. Don't run. John 10:10, we all know this. You know, like, I'm not sharing like these profound, like, I read this scripture and the blah, like, these are like regular scriptures that we all know. We've heard these 100 times, but we need to catch it. We need to get it and run with it. John 10:10 says, Satan, who is the thief and the liar, has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give life and life more abundantly. Life and life more abundantly. I mean, I mentioned it briefly, but in science or psychology, you know, they talk about, and you probably remember it in school, the fight or flight response. Fight or flight. Every situation we have, every time, you know, I read about it in a psychology website, and it says that the fight or flight response is also known as the acute stress response. Essentially, the response prepares the body to either fight or to flee the threat. It is also important to note that the response can be triggered due to both real and imaginary threats. I mean, have your kids ever come to your bed at night because they had a bad dream or they thought they saw a monster under their bed or something? I mean, we have this fight or flight response to both real and imaginary threats. I'm going to give you an example of both. A real threat, about a month ago, doesn't matter. I was at my house, and Mitch had gone to the store. It was kind of late at night, maybe like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And if you know the neighborhood that we live in, sometimes in its history, it hasn't been the nicest neighborhood. Like a couple years ago, we had the SWAT team come and raid the house, and like tank trucks and stuff raid the house across the street from us. So in its history, it has not been that lovely. And about 6 weeks ago, I was up late at like 10 o'clock, and the kids were still awake. Mitch was gone wherever he was at the store. And all of a sudden, I had just given the kids a bath, and I heard like screaming. Loud screaming. And I told the kids to be quiet, and I tried to find out where the screaming was coming from, and it was from across the street. And it was pretty bad. They were fighting. It was a man and a woman. And it was one of those kind of yelling fightings where you're not sure if maybe things are getting violent or gonna take that turn, and it was really scary. Knowing the people that have lived there and the situations that have in its history been there before, I had thought, like, from the way things were sounding, that, you know, is somebody gonna start shooting? You know, is somebody gonna, you know, like, get stabbed or hurt? Something really bad is happening. And I told my kids to go hide in the corner because, you know, if they start shooting or something starts going down, you know, I don't want them to get hurt. So I had them hiding in the corner of the living room, and I'm trying to look out the window, and I had 911 on my phone. And of course, for whatever reason, I couldn't get a hold of Mitch. I kept calling Mitch and I couldn't get a hold of him. And so I had dialed 911, and I was going to press the button to call, and all of a sudden it was like, what are you doing? Have you forgotten? Like, pray. Hello, pray. And I started to pray because, you know, I was like, okay. And I just started to pray, and I just started to pray in tongues. And I told Sophia, I said, just pray. We just started sending the angels over there. And I kid you not, it was almost instantaneous. Like within like 10, 15 seconds, it had dissipated. The guy had come outside, and he was like just walking around, and somebody else had pulled up, and it was just like the situation was diffused. And I told Mitch, you know, when he came home, all that had happened, And the guy that was involved, he had been to prison before, and he's kind of a volatile gentleman anyways. And so it was really scary. It was really scary, and I, you know, didn't want to call the cops unless I really had to, because I didn't want them to know that I had called the cops, because then what if they try to do something back to us? And it, all of a sudden, like, you know, I have all these scenarios, and it was like, what are you doing? Just pray. There are more with us than with them. And greater is he. Greater is the power that we have. It's greater than the power of the cops. It's greater than the power of anybody that could go over there and do anything. And it worked. Because it's not them. It's a spiritual battle. Like, that was demonic, whatever that was going on over there. So we fight demonic things, not with spiritual, but I mean, not with physical, but with spiritual. So I started sending angels over there. I don't even know, God, what's going on, but I just send angels and we stop this, whatever's going on. And it did. An imaginary threat. Okay. So in work, I remember one day I was at work and I was kind of new at the time, and I was walking down the hall, and my boss was walking up the hall, and as she was walking up the hall, I looked at her and I said, "Hi, good morning." And she just kept going. She didn't look at me, she didn't answer me. And my heart sank. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what did I do? She hates me. She's mad at me. What did I do? What could I have done that she..." And like, I started like, and it was messing up my whole day. All that I was thinking about was, "Oh my gosh, my boss is mad at me, and I'm new here, and they're gonna..." Like, all these things. I'm like, no, like, I'm not gonna let this get to me. I'm not gonna let this get to me. And later on, you know, there was another opportunity. She had walked by, and I attempted again. I was like, "Oh, hi." And this time she's like, "Oh, hi, how are you?" or whatever. And I'm like, "Oh, you know, I was wondering if everything was okay. I had said hi to you earlier and you didn't answer me," or whatever I had said. She's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. There was this thing that had happened in the back and I must have just been so wrapped up. I didn't hear you at all, honey. I'm so sorry." But in my mind, there was all these situations that were happening, all these things. And the devil, you give him an inch and he takes a mile. And all of a sudden she hated me. And it was because of this and it was because of that and all these things. But it was nothing. It was an imaginary threat. And I could have either fought or fled. Like, "Well, I'll just never talk to her because she hates me." You know, that's dumb. There's a shadow puppet playing, lime imitating, stupid, deceiving devil that is trying to get us any way that he can to get us off our ground from the turf and the territory that we have. And he's going to do it any chance that he gets. And it's up to us whether we're either going to fight or flight. Are we going to let him, or are we going to stand our ground and say no? No! Another really good example is Elijah and Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings. In 2 Kings chapter 6, this was after Elisha, the Arameans were coming against the Israelites a lot, and God would always tell Elisha what they were going to do. And so the king of the Arameans was getting really upset because, you know, God was revealing this thing, all their plans to the Israelites through Elisha. And so he decided that he was going to go after Elisha. So they surrounded the city where he was at. And it says that in the morning, the servant woke up and he saw all these, you know, all these Arameans, this whole, it says in the word that he sent a vast army after one dude. A vast army. And so you have this vast army surrounding the city. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, after the dude had woke up and he saw all these things, all the army around them, and he was freaking out and he was afraid. And in verse 16, Elisha said, "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And then the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. I love how it reads in the voice version. It says that Elijah asked God, he says, "I ask you to allow my servant to see heavenly realities." What is the heavenly reality of the situation? It's not the people. There are more with us than with them. Whatever the devil can throw at you, you have at least 2 times more power than he does, because there was only 1/3 of the angels that went with him. God still has 2/3 on his side. So even if, you know, whatever, you have more power. There are more with you always than there will be any demonic or spiritual attack that comes against you. Always. What's the heavenly reality? There are more with you than with them. The heavenly reality is that greater is he that is in you. You are more than a conqueror. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The list can go on and on. This is the heavenly realities. We need to know it. Because if you don't know what the reality is, you're going to fall for a lie. I get all worked up about this. I get all worked up about it because there are too many of us that get sucked up in a lie when it's not the truth. And you know what the problem is? It's fear. I mean, Satan works by fear. He's all smoke and mirrors, you know, like, it's all intimidation. He works by fear tactics, intimidation tactics. He tries to, like, come at you and, you know, like in that situation, like, just, like, trying to get you off of your ground. And there's an awesome example from Zig Ziglar. He says, fear stands for 2 things. Fear stands for 2 things. You can forget everything and run, or you can face everything and rise. Fear, you can forget everything. You can forget all the promises of God. You can forget what his word says. You can forget what he's told you, what he wants you to do, and run. Or you can face everything and rise, because you are more than a conqueror through Jesus. I mean, we see Christians going through all kinds of stuff, leaving churches, getting divorced, like, I mean, going crazy in the world, doing all kinds of crazy things. And you think to yourself, like, you know, I've had friends that grew up in church and they're like they go nutso. I mean, I did it for a while before God got a hold of me again. And it's like, do we just forget everything? You forget everything that you learned and you just... You know, and you just go and... We can't forget everything that we know just because we're in a scary situation. And I work in the medical field. You know, I think all of you know that I'm a part-time nurse, and my husband is an athletic trainer. You know, he does a sports medicine program at the high school. And I did that too when I was in high school. That's what I initially went to college to study. But God redeemed me from that. And you face a lot of emergency situations. Okay? So you find out a lot about a person when the poop hits the fan. You know, when somebody... I remember one of the first, and I wrote a paper about this in college, was one of the first experiences, major bloody experiences that I had when we were, when I was a student athletic trainer at the high school, was there was this massive tackle in football, and one of our guys ran back to the sideline, and he was just holding his arm like this, and he's running. And... you know, he came over, he couldn't really tell anything, and he came over, and his whole arm from about here to here was just sliced open. It was just, you know, like 2 halves, like a pita pocket, okay? And you could just see all the carne and everything was inside, and you could see the bone in the middle there. And you had 2 responses on the sideline. You had the... you know, like the people that are freaking out and the other students that are there and like, and they're not doing anything. Or you have the one, like, I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but I was like, okay, let's do this. Where's this? Where's that? And like, just like, And even to this day, when there's an injury on the field, like, I stand up. And Jasmine's like, you know, sit down. What are you doing? We're at the game the other night, and Mitch was, there was the guy that had a cramp, and they're like trying to, and I like stood up, and it's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, go out there, you know, like. But you get two responses in an emergency situation. You get fight or flight. And I know as nurses, I've had that too. You know, somebody is like coding or there's an emergency situation and you have the people that like just all their information just farts out of their brain. They forget everything. They don't know what to do. And you're like, hello, you need to do something, like, you know. And sometimes I've been there, you know, there was a situation that I was in and I was trying to help. And it's like everything that you know, you're like, am I doing this right? I don't even you know, and it happens. But we can't forget everything. We can't forget everything that we know about God, His justice, His goodness, His faithfulness, His victory, His power and His strength. When the devil comes at us roaring in our face, we can't get so scared, the deer in the headlights look, that we just forget everything that we know about God and run. He says, stand, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done, and then His peace will come over you that goes over everything that you can understand. You don't need to handle it yourself. You just got to stand there. You got to stand there. What did it say? We overcome through His mighty power. His mighty power. The weapons of our warfare, they are mighty through our God. Through our God. It's not the power of, you know, the power of Nina compels you. Like, that's stupid. That doesn't work. You know, it's the power of Christ. It's the power of Christ. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's the Christ in you, the hope of glory. You carry a light. When we were in prayer today, the word was shared too, that we have the light inside of us. I'm going to read it because I wrote it down. I'm telling you, you guys should come to prayer in the morning. Where is it? You are a candle. I've put my light in you. Some of you are a candle in a very dark place. But a little light in a very dark place is a great thing. Let your light shine before man, and they will be drawn to me. You may be in a very dark place, but you have the light of Christ inside you. Don't hide it. You know, we know that kid's song. Hide it under a bushel. No! You know, when we got, like, you have an option. You can hide it. You can run, or you can let it shine. You can let it shine. Hallelujah. So, don't let the situation scare you away from God has promised you. I mean, the very promised land itself was full of giants when they got to it. I mean, they sent the 10 spies and it was full of giants. But Joshua and Caleb, I mean, they reported back. I mean, when we get into a situation, we can see the giant or we can see the promise. Okay, we can look and be, and, you know, stand there and pee our pants because we see this giant thing that's coming against us, or we can know what God has promised us, and despite the giants, know that God is bigger. God is bigger than that. Joshua and Caleb, when this account had happened, they said they have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of any giant that comes in your life. God is bigger. God is bigger. He is always bigger. I mean, think about David and Goliath. David didn't see Goliath. He saw the promise of God. And he killed Goliath because he knew the promise of God. He knew the power of God. I mean, honestly, it's come up in my mind before. Like, I've thought about, you know, when things get hard, and I've thought about switching jobs. I've even had times when I've, you know, thought about switching churches, to be honest. I mean, sometimes you're like, well, I wonder what it would be like if I went over there. Or I wonder if it would be like, I wonder how that church is. Or I wonder, I mean, I've even thought about what it would be like to be married to somebody else. I mean, we think about all kinds of things. When Mitch's dad passed away, I thought, you know, like, what would ever happen if something ever happened to Mitch? Like, would I get remarried again? I mean, you start thinking of all these stupid scenarios in your head, and it's like, I can't picture myself with anybody else. I can't picture myself in another church. I can't picture myself at another at another job. I mean, like, Jesus and the disciples, he was teaching a lot of hard stuff. And it says that so many people deserted him, and a lot of the disciples deserted him. And he turned and he looked at them and to the disciples, the 12, and said, well, are you going to leave too? And they turned and told him, but where would we go? The words that you have are life. And it's the same. I mean, life isn't easy. Life is hard. Relationships are hard. Marriage is hard. Following Christ is hard. It's not a popular thing right now. I mean, just look at the news. I shared one pro-life thing on Facebook like a few weeks ago, and I've had people not talk to me since. It's not a popular thing to talk about. It's not a popular thing to stand up for what the truth is. But on the day of salvation, when Jesus returns and we all have to stand there before the Lord, he's not going to care about whether you were politically correct or not. He's not going to care about whether you offended a few people or not, because Jesus offended a lot of people. But yet he did everything in love. I'm not saying you're going out to make enemies or whatever, but we can't not say the truth or not do our assignment because we're afraid of people. John 6, 66 through 69, and Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you going to leave too? And Simon Peter, who is the same person that Jesus told, get behind me, Satan, he said, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life, and we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So we have the choice. Are we going to leave too? When everybody else is doing it, when everybody is giving up and starting over somewhere and doing somewhere else, like, you know, that's kind of what people don't like to fix things anymore. They just want to just return them and get a new one. And even appliances, like, they make them to where they're almost disposable now. The old ones, we recently just replaced our washer and dryer. We had some gifted to us, glory to God. And the old ones were from when I was born. Like, they were like, I'm not going to say how old they were. They were old. But they were fixable. My mom was like, yeah, and the parts are really easy to replace. You know, they're really, really good machines. And they are. They were good machines. And we would still be using them if we didn't have other ones that were gifted to us. But the ones they make now, it's almost like once it needs repair, you just chuck it and go get a new one. But that's not what God wants us to do with people, with relationships, with church, with jobs. I mean, we all just like, chuck it, get a new one, chuck it, get a new one. Like, no, you are meant to fight. You are meant to fight and stand your ground where you are. This is where God has you. I mean, everyone starts over somewhere else. Everyone wants to look for greener pastures. But where would we go? Where would I go? This is where God has me. This is where God has you. And it may not always be easy, and you may not always agree with everything that gets said, or something that, you know, somebody may not look at you the right way one Sunday, or they say the wrong thing. You know, heaven help us, we're not perfect all the time. People get all up in arms because, you know, a Christian said something, oh, well, they're not a Christian. You know, yes, they are. They're just not Jesus. They're not perfect. You know, we're all here. And instead of looking for greener pastures somewhere else, why not water the brown grass that you have and make it green? I mean, it's up to us. God gave us everything that we need to fix the situation. He's the living water. Brown grass, come alive. Put the water on it. Do what we got to do. It's a covenant. Be as good as your word, because our God, our Father, he is as good as his word. Always. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and call of God are irrevocable. He is as good as his word. God doesn't write us off or throw us away when we let him down. God doesn't switch us out and get something better. He calls us out of darkness and into the light. He fights for us and is jealous for our love and our attention. God so loved us that he gave us Jesus. So is it easy to stay when everybody else is turning and running? No. Or when everybody else is caving and falling around you to what everybody else is doing? No. Is it easy to stay when you don't have a reason to? No. Ephesians 6:13, it says, and this is why, in the voice, it says, and this is why you need to be head to toe in the full armor of God, so you can resist during these evil days and be fully prepared to hold your ground. Head to toe in the armor of God. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, to fight the good fight of faith. It doesn't say run the good run. It doesn't say sleep the good sleep. It says to fight the good fight. We can't be ignorant to what's going on around us. We can't run away from all the problems. We have to fight the good fight of faith, not with our weapons, but with the weapons that God gave us. You are a fighter and not a runner. I am not a runner. I've never been a runner. I don't like running, but I'm just trying to be biblical, just so you guys know. Just kidding. I thought that was funny. Anyways, we all know people who run from marriages, run from churches, run from jobs. They're always running from something. Maybe that's who you used to be. Maybe that's you right now. I mean, we've all been there. But there is a reason that you are where you are, and until God Almighty tells you to move, then you stay and you stand and you fight. We fight because God is the fighter. God is a warrior. He is the Lord of hosts. Do you know what that means? In other versions, it says that he is the Lord of heaven's armies. He is the commander, the great commander. And he's not the Lord of heaven's cross-country team. He is the Lord of heaven's armies to fight. God fights for us. And we need to fight. We need to fight. Let no one tear apart what God has brought together. Your marriage, fight for it. Your health, fight for it. Your finances and your family, this church, fight for it. Stand your ground and say, no, get behind me, Satan. We have the armor to fight. I mean, it's plain and simple. In Ephesians 6, it talks about the whole armor of God, and then we just read in verse 13 where it says, having put on all the armor, having done all, you fight. If God wanted us to run, he would have given us Nikes instead of armor. I mean, you know, he wants us. And he didn't just give us Nikes. He didn't give us Nikes. The shoes that he gave us are the gospel of peace. And what did Jesus say to the storm, to the wind and the waves? He said, peace, be still. So when the stuff comes, peace doesn't run. Peace is still. Peace waits. Peace hopes. Peace prays. Peace obeys. Peace be still. You stand your ground. You stand on the gospel of peace because those are what God has given you to cover your feet with. Don't run. You stand your ground. Who is this man? They said after he calmed the storm, he said, who is this man that even the wind and waves obey him? That's my Jesus. That is my Jesus. And Jesus is on my side. He is on your side. 1 Samuel 17. First Samuel 17, verse 45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Israelites to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. We do not fight against our own power. We fight with his power. It is him that backs us. It is him that is in us. He is the light. He is our sword. He is our shield. He is our peace. He is our everything. He is our salvation. He is everything. Everything. And it says, Having done all to stand, Ephesians 6:13 and other verses says, having done all to stand. That means having fought with everything that you have, every weapon that you have, after you've fought, after you've done all that you can to stand, you'll be standing. Because greater is he that is in you. And it is through his power. No matter the giant, no matter the problem, God is bigger. God is bigger. Don't let the devil tear apart what God has brought together. And I'm sick of saying this, but it's your health. It's your family. It's your marriage. It's your church. It's your job. It's whatever God has given you. That's yours. That's yours. Don't let any false evidence tear you away from what God has told you. Resist the devil. Submit all to God. Stand up and fight. Resist the devil and he will flee. So I'm going to read Philippians 4, 6 through 7, one more time. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace. And this is the peace that lets us stand, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This peace is what keeps us from running. The peace is what you stand on, and having done all to stand, stand. Yesterday, the same friend of mine called me crying because she had just gotten in a fight with her husband. And a few weeks ago when she had told me the situation, we started diligently praying for her. My family started diligently praying for her. Even my kids, you know, I heard my husband one night, he sings and he does their bedtime story and he sings with them and puts them to bed. That's their routine. And they were singing, he's got the whole world. And I heard him saying her name and her husband's name. He's got them in his hands and the kids are singing. You know, instead of worrying about something, just give it to God. Give it to God. And we started declaring life over their marriage. And life, you know, hurting people hurt others. It's not because of them. It's something in them that's hurting them. So we need to even that recognize that it's not them. They're going through something that is making them lash out at me this way. God, help them. Whatever they're going through, help them. Ask God to show you how to pray for them because they're going through something worse that is making them lash out at you. And so she had called me yesterday. I was in a store with Sophia and she had called me and she was crying and she had just gotten into a big fight with her husband and he had said some really hurtful things and she's like, I don't even know. I'm just sitting outside in my car. I don't know. I don't even want to go in the house. Like, what do I do? I love him so much, but I can't make him return his affection to me. And I can't, you know, make this situation any better. And I told her, and again, that thought crept up. Well, maybe tell her like, well, you know, maybe sometimes separation is necessary and, you know, it might be. And then that same thought, are you just going to turn over because it hasn't happened yet? Because you aren't seeing exactly what you want to happen yet? You're just going to give up? And so I told her as much as I wanted to say, like, well, just come spend the night at my house, or, you know, we'll figure this out. I said, we have been praying for you guys. We have been praying for you. And you may or may not want to hear it because she's not exactly in the right place right now with God, but I know that that's going to change too. And I told her, you may or may not want to hear this, but we have been praying for you. And we have been praying for you guys since before you got married. And we prayed your marriage through, and you always wanted to marry him. And that's what you wanted so bad. And we trusted God. And we know that God puts you guys together for a reason. And things are hard. Marriage is hard. And we just pray for him. We pray for his family, and just started speaking things over. And she wasn't like totally receptive. She was like, well, you know, I got to go to the bathroom, so I'll talk to you later or whatever. And she hung up the phone. I'm like, well, that was received well. Well, not 10 minutes later, she texts me and she's like, oh my gosh, he just came home and he apologized to me. And he was so sweet. And for him to apologize, that's a huge thing. Huge thing. And some of you guys, you know, it's hard to apologize. She texts me and she's like, he came home and apologized. He was so sweet. And all I said was, that's awesome. Prayer works. Because it does. When things get hard, and they do get hard, we can run. And it's easy to run. That's the easy choice. And it's sometimes, you know, it seems like the safe choice sometimes. But at least for her, like, her own family has gone through a history of divorce on both sides, her and her new husband. And, you know, all kinds of things. And it's like, well, we can just keep promoting this, or we can stop it. We can stop it. And yeah, it's hard. Marriage is hard, but I believe, and I told her too, I said, there's a reason that God put you in his life and us. You know, us as her friends and as her family, you know, there's a reason that God brought us together, and there's a reason that you have been put in the lives of those hard people. There's a reason that you have been put in those hard situations, because you carry the power of God, and God has a plan for you to move there where you are. His will, the word says that his will is that not one should perish. So you are where you are because there's an assignment for you, and there is something that you need to do. You need to bring God's power in that situation. You need to ask God, how do I do this? And stand your ground. And the war is not over yet, but it's already won. It's already won as far as her and her husband. I know that, you know, it's not always easy, and sometimes the devil tries to roar back at us. But you can get scared and run, or you can stand your ground. Hallelujah. I mean, even in my own, like last night, I was preparing this message, and I was, you know, talking about, like, you know, I was getting so pumped up, and I was writing this, like, yeah, like, I'm not gonna let anything, and literally, as I was writing it, I started to feel feverish, and I'm sitting there like, devil, you got to be kidding me, you've got to be kidding me. And I came out of the room, and I told Mitch, like, I'm not really feeling very good, but, like, I was so offended, like, you know. And sometimes when we start declaring things, the devil wants to test whether or not we're serious about it. You know, I talk about finance. I know that we're at 12 o'clock. I asked for just for a couple more minutes. But he tests us. And even this morning, we're in prayer. And I was so, like, ready, and I was, like, just so excited about the words that were being spoken, and, like, just getting pumped up in the spirit, and just, like, feeling good and feeling awesome. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling feverish again. And I'm sitting there like, devil, you really? Like, no. And so I sit there, I'm like, no, I'm not even going to acknowledge this. I thought, like, oh, you better go take some pills, or, like, you got to go get your Tylenol and whatever, because you don't want. I'm like, no, I'm not even going to acknowledge this, because this is a counterfeit attack. And I'm here, and I don't feel feverish at all. I mean, God is good. God is good. Another awesome example is we, my husband and I are faithful tithers. We tithe. We have been taught to tithe. We have been taught the promises on tithing. If you don't know them, there are some pamphlets in the front about tithing. There are awesome promises for tithers. Promises that I've stood on even through pregnancy. There was a time when I was pregnant with Sophia that I woke up for 3 or 4 nights straight with a stabbing pain in my side. Stabbing pain. And I walked around and I, you know, Mitch was praying for me and my mom was there and my sister's there and they're praying for me. And I just got up and I walked outside and I just started declaring, you know, the word says that for tithers, that your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe. And I just started declaring, I am a tither. My grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe. I do not accept miscarriage. I do not accept whatever is going on in here. And she's, you know, 4 years old up there. Fine. There are so many promises for tithers. And recently we had a, and I have recently been on my tithe check, and whenever I put it, and you know, there's that little spot in the check slot that it says what it's for. And recently I've been putting like my harvest. This is for my increase. This is for my blessing. This is for my this and my that, and just writing, you know, all these things. And then all of a sudden we started getting, We had this attack come against us. There was an issue with our flood insurance. And FEMA raised our flood insurance, and it caused it's rolled together with our mortgage payment, and it caused our mortgage payment to be raised by over $200 a month. And some of you guys are like, oh, well, that was a lot to us. That was grocery money. That's other bill money. An extra $200 a month, you know, that hurt us. Mitch was on summer leave, so he had lowered income, and it hurt us bad. And, you know, even through that, we never were in lack. We didn't not pay any bills. We had our bills paid. You know, I still got Sophia stuff for school. And I honestly, you know, in my head, like, the numbers don't really add up, but there was always money there. We never stopped tithing. And this past month, we had, we've been working with FEMA and all these people and trying to get the situation straightened out, because some things were messed up. Yeah, discrepancies in what was going on. And, Mitch paid the mortgage because we had to do that, and he was, Mitch's money is usually for all the bills, and mine is for groceries and gas and extra stuff. And he had paid all the bills, and he's like, well, my whole check went to paying for the mortgage, and we still have all the other bills that are left for the end of this month. And so I'm thinking, like, well, I mean, we can just pay them all with my money, and then what will we do for groceries? And still in my head, I'm like, but God, we're tithers. We are tithers, and what your promise says, that you will always take care of us, and you will never leave us in lack. You will never leave us begging bread. Like, we are faithful to you. We know that you are faithful to us. You've always been faithful. Taking him and at his word, telling him what he needed, and thanking him for what he's done. And honestly, I wasn't really worried about it. Like, it was like a fleeting thought, like, yeah, we still have all this stuff to pay, but it's going to be all right. Well, we got a check in the mail for over $800 refund just Saturday, the other day, 2 days ago maybe. Came to us. Guess what's going to pay for all the bills that we didn't have money to pay for? A refund that just all of a sudden magically appeared in the mail to come to us. You know, God will take care of you if you stand your ground. We could have started, like, worrying about, like, what are we going to do? Let's sell some couches, or let's, you know, let's go do this and do that, and trying to work out all of our own ways. But God didn't tell us to do that. If God said to us, you need to go do this, then we would do that. But he just put his peace in my heart, and I knew that he was going to take care of it. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it and you stand on it. You don't move. And he will take care of you. And he will bless you for your obedience. So if he had told us to go sell a couch because that's what we needed to do, that's what we would have done. And he would have blessed us in doing it. But he told us to not worry about it and to stay still. And we did. And he blessed us. And I am telling you, Wherever you're at, you keep your candle lit because the darkness needs it. There are people that are out there without a candle lit, without their flame lit yet, that need to be drawn to yours. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. And having done all to stand, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. And right now, I'm not going to call anybody up right now, but I want you, we're going to take God at his word. And he said in Philippians, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. So whatever giant is in your life right now, just there where you are, we are giving it to God. We are standing our ground. We are saying no to every wile and ploy of the enemy. And we're telling God what we need, and we're just going to start thanking him for what he's done. Lord, you know our needs. You know our needs. You know our needs. Don't be afraid to talk to him specifically. Don't be afraid just to talk to God. Tell him your needs. Don't think of them as below God. He cares about what you care about. The word says that to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Not just the big things, but the small things. Things that you may even think is insignificant. They're not to God. Give them to God. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. So after you told him, just begin to thank him. Just begin to worship him. Just begin to, if you don't know what to say, just say, I love you, God. You are so good. God, you are so good. God, I love you. I love you, God. Lord, you are faithful. You are faithful even when we're not faithful. You are good always, 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 God. You are bigger than any mountain. You are bigger than any giant. You are bigger than any storm. God, you are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. Your promises are true. You are everything to us. Just for these next few moments, just lift your hands in submission. Just giving it all over. Even if you, like Pastor said, you raise them 3 inches, just open them up and give it to God as a significant, as a signifying your release of the situation to him. God, we give it up. We give it up. Your word says not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything, to tell you what we need and thank you for what you've done. Then your perfect peace will come. Your peace that makes us stand. Your peace that makes us stand, Lord. We give you it all. We give you it all. We give you it all. We give you our families. We give you our children. We give you our finances, Lord. We give you our marriages. We give you this church. We give you our jobs, Lord. We give you all of everything, everything. It's all yours anyways. You are so good. You are so good. You're so good. The word says that we stand on the solid rock. Upon the solid rock we stand. Everything else falls away, but he is the solid rock that cannot be shaken. He is the firm foundation. We give it all to you, God. We give it all to you, God. If you are here this morning and you would like to give your heart over to Jesus, or if you have a specific need that you would like to have hands laid on you and prayer over you for, I invite you to come. And as we're praying, just stay connected. Just keep worshiping God. Don't disconnect. Just keep connected.